Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Your Show, turned into your show for news, information, and more. Now, do me a favor. Before we get into the show, grab your phone, just like I'm doing, and share it to your page, because we're giving you the 411 on what's happening in Muskegon, Michigan, and the world. This show is brought to you by Bishop Custom Series and Entertainment. My boy, the Bishop. Thank you for sponsoring the show. If you'd like to sponsor the show, call 231-727-5007 and join a nation of people that are trying to inform you on information. Remember, catch us on all our social media. We're everywhere, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, we can be seen. And if you're driving and you would like to see this show, remember our shows repeat themselves. And or if you're on Facebook, join us on WUVS 103.7 to beat or M106 to be part of the conversation. My brother, what is going on? Pastor Melvin Burns.
It's always good to be with your brother, Gregory T.
Give us the weather, sir.
All right. We have a beautiful week ahead of us. Today, low 60, high of 72. Tomorrow, sunny, low 60, high 71. We do this turnaround, do the same thing again Sunday, low 61, high 73. Partly cloudy on Monday, low 62, high 77. Tuesday, again, just another gorgeous day, low 60, high 79. Wednesday, sunny, low 60, high 81. Partly cloudy on Thursday, low 63, high 82. And then we start next weekend, another beautiful day of low 65, high 80. Gorgeous week ahead.
Nice. We like to talk to people that are making an impact in their community.
Yes.
And this brother here, we are so proud to have him back. Well, let's introduce him and let him talk about a little bit about himself. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together, as we say, for Carlton Briggs, president of Free Riders. How you doing, sir?
How you doing?
Put your hands together for this man.
I appreciate the applause. Not quite there yet.
All right. Tell us a little bit about yourself, sir.
My name is Carlton Briggs. Come from a long line of Briggs. We are Muskegon Heights native, actually. I'm a Muskegon Heights High School graduate alumni.
All right. Now, you are the president of what organization?
I'm sorry, there we go. Yeah, from the Muskegon Heights alumni, born and raised here.
Okay.
Walk the same streets as everyone. And I love my community and would love to see it grow. And my biggest thing is reaching the youth, trying to get these young kids back on the path that I had growing up.
Nice. So. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, so tell us about Free Riders. Tell us what that is and what you guys are about.
So Free Riders MC is a motorcycle club / nonprofit organization. Me and my colleague, Terrell Harris, we love to ride our bikes. You know, we rode and like love to have fun, but I wanted to start a nonprofit to start giving back to the community. Mm-hmm. And he came up with the idea and said, well, we can mix the two.
Okay.
And I said, well, I've never kind of heard of that. I mean, I've seen MCs around, but they didn't do too much of giving back and, you know, fundraisers or things of that nature, you know, but they were always cool. So we used the bikes and we used the brotherhood and the unity to influence the children in mm-hmm. a positive way. You know, everybody likes the bikes. They like to ride. They see we have fun. But at the end of the day, we have a goal and we have a mission that we're trying to accomplish. So we put it all together, and it's actually been working out wonderful since we started back in January of 2023.
Okay. Let's talk about that mission. You guys like you said, you ride the bikes and everybody loves the bikes and stuff like that. But something was compelled in you to do more than ride bikes.
Yes, yes. I have three children. I have an 18-year-old, 11-year-old who has autism. He's very smart, and a 4-year-old. And in order for my children to have a chance, anyone else's children to have a chance, you have to bring life and knowledge to the other children of their peer.
Mm-hmm.
Because how could my children survive in a crazy city with children that don't have a good upbringing or knowledge of what's right or wrong or how to go around their peers? So you have to try to reach out and touch a little bit of everybody.
That's
to try
right.
To help ground them when they can't get it. So that's always been my mind. My dad, all my friends, he took them in when I was a kid. They can come eat. They can come stay. You talk to them, treat them like no different. Mm-hmm. And it just stuck with me. So I work in a barbershop. I have a barbershop on 7th and Broadway, South Heights, Emmanuel Barbershop. I see a lot of young kids come and go, and some don't make it past 15. You know, I'm cutting them as a child, as a baby, putting them in a chair, and the last cut I've ever gave him, he was 12, 13, or 14, or 15. So, you know, we could talk about trying to change the stop, or we can be about change and stopping it. So we begin to be proactive. So that's why we try to be into the community a lot. We try to give back to the community a lot. We try to show them there's other ways to making money and being successful besides selling drugs or being in the streets.
There you go. Okay.
You know, that's our whole pitch, being proactive, being a positive influence. Okay. You know, saying you can have all these things by working hard and, you know, being consistent.
Okay. All right, question to you, Mel.
Yeah, so tell us, you say you're formed in January 2023. What are some of the things you guys have been able to do so far?
So far since we formed, which we're not even quite 2 years yet.
Yeah.
But we've had a backpack giveaway. Mm-hmm. We've did a clothes drive. So we received a few donations to be able to give away. We picked a school, which ended up being Timberland School. And we spent a little over $800 on undergarments, socks, T-shirts, okay. You know, healthcare products for less fortunate children. And we just let the staff decide who the kid, you know, what children get it because they're very intimate with the child. So we've done that. We've done every parade that we can think of around our city. We do the night on the lake. This will be the second year coming around with mm-hmm. Lake Hawks in Flight, Mr. Ronald Jenkins and his staff, which is very successful. And I think it'll be a bigger turnout this year. We had probably 60 children last year. They stayed one night over the lake. We mentor them, teach them fishing, mm-hmm. Basketball, games. They eat, and it's absolutely free. And, you know, you'll be surprised the parents that, you know, bring their kids and what they get out of it. So we actually, that starts August 17th, 4 o'clock p.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Saturday.
Let's go to the board. Jennifer Ross, our friend, what a wonderful organization. I partnered with them for this year's Juneteenth celebration, and they were awesome.
Yes.
Thanks for sharing that, Jen.
And she's a wonderful person to work with.
Yeah. So, Mr. Briggs, tell us, so you start this club off. Did you have a hard time selling guys on the idea that you wanted to not just be a motorcycle club, but give back to the community? Some guys go, man, that, you know, like you said, you hadn't heard of that before. Was that a hard sell for members?
It was not. Actually, you would think it'd be hard trying to start a club and being a leader of the club as the president. But the guys that, because it was probably 4 or 5 of us that we initially talked to about the idea. And it took us 2 years to actually put it to play, you know, mm-hmm. Getting all the paperwork done and getting it organized. But when it became concrete, it was not hard. People were willing to follow and do whatever it took. You know, I think a lot of guys around here want to give back. They just don't know how.
Say that again, because there are a lot of people that really want to help.
Yes,
but they don't know which way to go.
They don't. There are a lot of guys. We get this talk. They call it barbershop talk. But I mean, I can't count on my hands how many guys have donated behind the scenes and want to help and have conversations with these young guys that is not publicized, but they just don't know how to initiate mm-hmm. the help, you know. Mm-hmm. So and me personally, I didn't at first either, but I did research, and that's when we came up with the nonprofit. We spent countless dollars of our own money helping and giving, and there's bigger ways, there's organizations that will help you help, you know, because it's needed. So, and that's why we took that approach. And the guys that my brothers that are with me, we are all on one page as far as giving and loving on these kids and youth, you know, even to the young adults, you know, that need it. So,
mm-hmm. You said you work in a barbershop and stuff like that. What's the barbershop talk? Because you can find out all the information in the barbershop. But yeah, what are the information right now? What are people talking about the streets and helping the streets? And
The main talk now is gun violence. A lot of these parents are afraid, you know, of their children's safety on an everyday walk because of gun violence. These younger kids, they have firearms that they, I don't know how they get a hold to them, but they have them, and they're not afraid to use them. Half of them are drug-induced shootings. So we talk about the epidemic on the narcotics, the pills, and the gun violence. Those are things that we're trying to see what we can do to step in and try to save those numbers down, because they're definitely ridiculous, not just in Muskegon, but over the world in any urban community.
Mm-hmm. In the old days, you see, the old days we used to be able to, you know, fight and then shake hands and
yeah.
And it was over. Today, guys are just taking guns and just shooting without remorse.
Yeah, there's no coming back from that. You know, some of my closest friends I grew up, we fought, and that's how we became friends. So we built a respect for each other. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, all these kids, they're so desensitized to murder, to shootings and guns because of the access of YouTube or Twitter. You know, nothing is what we used to have, rated R, you know, rated X. Nothing is separated anymore. You just have easy access. So it desensitizes them. It makes them easier to kill or, you know, shoot somebody because they don't have that compassion or morality or love anymore. Everyone's think they're growing up in a Hard Knocks and this doggy dog world, but it's deeper than that. And there are people that care. There are people that love, you know, and we're out here to help. So
Jennifer Frost comes back and said that particular organization is extremely family oriented. How important is that to you?
That is very important to me because we know that the nonprofit is a business, it's to be ran, but family to me helps everything run smoothly, because when you truly care for someone and you love and you have their best interest and well-being, you'll try your hardest to uphold your end. That's why family is important to me.
Thanks, Mark.
So tell us, Greg might be thinking about getting a motorcycle next year. What's the requirements to join Riders?
So we have a hang around period. Would you hang around probably about 45 days? You know, just come check us out, meet everybody. Okay. You know, I'm
y'all check him out too, right?
Yes. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. You know, we got to know you. We got to know you. And I'm very, very big on relationships. Everyone in the club has to have a relationship with everyone.
Okay.
You know, there's we're not cliquish. We're not 3-4 standoff. Everyone has a relationship with everyone. The good, the bad, the ugly, but we know each other, you know? So,
I don't have to take a 55-second beat down.
No. We respect everyone as a man. We don't do any degrading things. And that's one of the reasons why we started our own club, too, because we weren't washing nobody's bike with toothbrushes. Or I wasn't driving the Grand Rapids doing 20 miles an hour to brand you a Krispy Kreme donut. So what we do is we just want to make sure you're there for us. And we're there for you. So if we need a favor, a car breaks down, bike break down, or help power washing the house, or, you know, maybe my son needs a ride from school and I can't get out of work fast enough, you know, just simple things that a family, a brotherhood would do for each other, you know?
Okay.
So and that's what we like. It's just, it's family. It's not, we have a chain of command, of course, but it's not domination or, you know, belittling anybody. You know, it's all family. And you know, okay. you being an elder, we would definitely respect you to the utmost.
Now talk a little bit, because people have their little stigmas and ideas about motorcycle gangs and mm-hmm. what they are and what they do. Tell them about your your motorcycle gang, and what makes you guys different.
So some of our guys have patches on them that says all motorcycle clubs aren't gangs. So you have 1% of clubs, you have non-1% of clubs, which we're not a 1% of clubs. We obey the law. We're all law-abiding citizens. You know, we all work a 9-to-5. And if you don't work a 9-to-5, we try to put you in position so you can get a job or create your own business. We're all about that, helping each other, you know, succeed and grow. Mm-hmm. You can't be an example if you're not on the top of your game, you know. So
preach, but, brother, preach. Yeah.
So, but our club is different because we put ourselves last. You know, we just took a trip to Springfield, Illinois, which was a roundup. It was a big bike event, one of the biggest black bike events in the world. But that was probably our first trip that we've taken as a club that was far, because we're so busy giving back to the community, you know, mm-hmm. trying to figure out where we can fit in to do an activity for the city to come and enjoy safely. And, you know, just bring Muskegon Heights back to what it used to be, but not as far as stepping backwards, but mm-hmm. family. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a time when I was a kid, me and my dad, we could ride around and see a grill. You know, one person, your family, go play with the kids. He's talking, you know, and they're going to feed you. They're going to take care of you. So that's the kind of step we're trying to go back to. You know, we want to have our own little bike time, you know, in Muskegon Heights, to where we can all fellowship and enjoy each other, network, and, you know, meet people that that's probably our relative that we never got a chance to meet, because everybody's stuck in their box nowadays, you know, they kind of stay away, you know. So mm-hmm. That's what makes us different. We're trying to step in and be a bridge mm-hmm. in the middle for change.
But not only a bridge, how important is it to you guys to be part of the village of raising the youth and even older than that? How important it is for you guys to be a part of that village?
It's very important. It's the top of the pillar of the cause, actually, because without the youth and the young adults, there's no future. You know, life, it comes and goes. You know, you're born to die, and the people that are in charge won't be in charge forever just due to how God created it. So you mm-hmm. have to try and mold the youth to be able to lead. And in order to lead, you have to learn to follow. So it's very important for us to step in for anyone with positive knowledge and, you know, positive intentions to step in to try to help lead and guide these youth to a greater future. Or we won't have a great future. Mm-hmm. As we can see now how the world is going. You know, no one wants to work. No one wants to put in effort. Everyone wants something handed to them, right, and given to them for free. And it just won't end well that way.
Mm-hmm. That's you talked about going to the event down in Illinois, and there's like a whole culture that's been around for a while of black bikers that a lot of people aren't aware of. Talk about that a little bit.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And like I said, we're new to this world, but it is a lot of things that go for black bikers, not even just the roundup, even though the roundup is one of the biggest. They do it in different states every year. They have committees mm-hmm. and they vote on the next location every year. So we'll find out the new location in October. But when I say there's thousands and thousands and thousands of black bikers, and they're successful, you know, you have millionaires to six figures, you know, they're coming. And it is all love, and it's all positive, and they're willing to share their secrets. They're willing to share information and help you and network. I mean, it's beautiful. It's like a fraternity, you know, a frat. It's amazing. It's an amazing experience. It's exhilarating, actually. And we look forward to it every year, but there's other bike events that go on through the year, where black bikers get together and they fellowship, barbecues, and, luncheons and fundraisers for kids and give backs and just free picnics for the community. And they do this all the time. This is mm-hmm. done all the time. And I wouldn't have knew if I wouldn't have entered this lifestyle. So
Yeah, but I'm sitting up. I'm a kid. Money is low, and there are people coming at me saying, you know, I can get this money fast, and you know, all you got to do is carry this firearm and do this. Talk to that individual. I want you to speak to that individual on why they should think about doing something else.
Okay. So that individual, and which depends on the age group, is for the delivery. But common delivery would be, yes, you'll make money fast now, depending on how fast you get caught by the police. And then you'll go to prison. And then you'll lose your life for umpteen years. Or you'll get caught with a gun and you'll go to prison. Or someone will try to rob you and you have to use the gun. So now you shot someone and killed someone, you'll still go to prison or you'll be dead. So I have examples, because your friend happened to your friend, happened to your brother, happened to your uncle, happened to someone you know. It's so common now. You can name 5 or 6 people that it happened to. Mm-hmm. So do you want to follow in those footsteps? Or do you want to be like this group of guys to where we're riding around with $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 bikes? We have toys, cars. We have nice homes. We have a pocket full of money as well, but we work. We don't have to look behind our back. We're happy, and we do what we want to do without worrying about getting robbed or the police coming. You know, so you can choose that, or you can choose that. Which one would you like? And they pretty, you know, a lot of them, when they see that you're successful and you're doing just as good, they're like, I want to be like you. You know, I want to cut hair, or, you know, I want to do what you're doing. So that's the approach. But you have to be able to show an example to reach these young kids. Now, talking isn't enough. You know, you can tell a hungry kid all day. Mm-hmm. It's true. You can tell a hungry kid all day, go get a job. You know, I can get you into this job. And, you know, and you can't. You know, you just tell them, go get a job. But you got to be able to show him and direct him in a way where you're going to put him in that position and it's going to work for him. And you have to be there for him, because it's going to be ups and downs. You know, you have to be there for him until he fares out.
Right.
And I've watched a lot. I've watched a lot of young people and older people turn their life around, get jobs, and they're very successful now, living $400,000 homes, you know, own their own companies. You know, and these guys I've talked to, you know, in a struggle moment in their life when they were going to make a bad decision trying to, you know, sell drugs or have sold drugs or wanted fast money or wanted to be a shooter, what they call them nowadays, and they've changed. So, but you have to be able to show an example of success the right way in order for them to change their mind.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's Burn.
Tell me something. How did you first get interested in motorcycles?
Well, I was interested in actually the Ryker, the three-wheeler, because I was afraid of the Harleys. I was afraid. And I bought a three-wheeler Ryker, and I was afraid of that. But, you know, you get used to anything. You get comfortable mm-hmm. with it. And my other friends had crotch rockets, and some had Harleys, and you would go to these bike events, and then you would see the respect all the Harley riders are getting. You know, whether you have a three-wheeler Harley or two-wheel or a Vulcan or anything, but a bagger in general. So, you know, I liked my little three-wheel. He couldn't tell me nothing about it. So as we began to start the club, you know, all the guys saying, hey, man, you can't be the president. You're riding on training wheels, man. Everybody. Oh, they dogged me out bad. I was in my office doing all the paperwork for the club, and they 6 or 7 of the guys on the phone. Yeah, man, we can't be the president in the front with the training wheels on. Everybody got real bikes. So. They drew me so bad, I literally left, and I said, well, you meet me up at Harley.
Okay.
I went and bought one, but I didn't ride it home. But it was the best decision I made. I took the Harley course, and Harley teaches you how to ride. I mean, they teach you how to ride. So I took the Harley course. It was a 3-day course, and I was riding on the highway as soon as I got my license. The last day I was done, me and my Vice President Terrell, we rode on the highway to Grand Haven and rolled around, and the release it gives you, you know, I know us men don't talk about it a lot, you know, especially being black men, you know, the everyday pressure we have as far as taking care of our families, making sure our jobs are right, work, mm-hmm. we just have pressure every day. Mm-hmm. And when I get on that bike, nothing else matters But the wind and the perfect song I've picked to ride,
right?
It takes it all away, you know. So it was the best decision I've ever made, and I actually would. You guys should try it.
You know what I want? You mentioned something. I want you to talk about that pressure, mm-hmm. and having men open up and be able to talk to each other, because we don't do that well at all.
True. And so my board, we've been discussing trying to get sessions for mental health discussions, because mental health is real. And a lot of us men hold in everything because we're supposed to be the backbone, the strength. You know, everyone comes to us with their problems. You know, I can't pay this, I can't pay that, or I'm worried about this, or I'm worried about that. But we have worries as well every day. You know, every day, if you're governing a home, you're governing a business, life in general, you have worries, you know, but you hold them in, or you have a problem, you don't say anything, you just shake it off and keep moving, you know, but it affects you on the inside. You know, you're thinking all the time, you're unfocused, it can cause you to be in a car accident, it can cause, you know, anything, because your mind is so, you know, clustered up. So mm-hmm. you need to sit down and talk about it. We have meetings once a month, every Sunday, every first Sunday of the month, and we let things off our chest. We open up, whether we shedding tears, whether we hugging, you need a hug, you know, you need some time, you need some one-on-one. We try to do that because it's a lot on a man's plate every day, and it gets looked over every day. That's, you know, no one cares about how the father feels, or, you know, the husband, or the big brother, or the mm-hmm. granddad, you know, or the manager, the boss, you know, no one really cares, because they feel like, well, this is what he signed up for, you know. But
you know, you sound like a great bunch of guys. If, because time is running down, if mm-hmm. I would like to be a participant and join you bikers, how do I get in touch with you guys? What is my first step?
We have a Facebook page, Free Riders MC. We also have a website, but we have cards. You can just come talk to my Sergeant Arms, which is Anthony Bradford. And you can get a hold to him, he'll get a hold to us, and we can all meet around, just come around. So I'm at the barbershop if you want to come up here, because like I say, it's family. If you are interested, just come around, say you're interested, you hang around 45 days, we get to know each other. And after that 45 days, there's a prospecting period to where, you know, you make all the events that we have, and, you know, and it's $100 application fee as yeah. well, so we can get to know your background, because we don't want mm-hmm. any people that can't be around children, you know.
That's good. That's good.
What's the name of the barbershop?
It's Emmanuel Barbershop, 7th and Broadway.
Okay.
2733.
Okay. And tell folks again, the event is coming up next week. Tell folks about that event.
I'm excited about it. So yeah. We have the Night on the Lake with the Lake Hawks in flight, Lazarus Man Consultants, and Free Riders MC. Sorry if I'm missing anybody else out, but it's a big, big, big thing for the youth from ages 10 to 16. We have campouts, basketball, food, fishing, games, mentor sessions. You get to learn how to pinch a tent, put it up, take it down. There's going to be the biggest projector in the world out there, thanks to the fire department. You get to watch TV as long as you can stay up. And the biggest bonfire in the world for s'mores. So yeah. Please check it out, please.
And I was there last year, and I'll say, aside from the kids having a good time, man, there was so many black men just helping to make it happen. It just, yes, you know, it was emotional, you know. But guys were great out there, man. Appreciated the, you all, you know, being security and making sure everything was straight. So looking forward to seeing you out there next week.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You as well.
Yeah.
All right, sir. You take care. Thank you for being on this show. Let it keep us informed about what you guys are up to.
You come check us out now, Mr. Greg.
I'm going to come out, but I'm going to have to start with like four wheels.
Four or five wheels.
That's all right.
Something
that's
that
all
can
right.
carry a lot of weight.
Yes, sir.
The only biker club that's mentioned in a song, them riders. We'd like to thank you for being on the show, and we will talk to you soon, my brother.
Thank you. You guys have a good day.
All right, we're going to do a commercial break. Next on the show is Jackie Hallberg, and we'll be back on Turn On 2 on 103.7 The Beat and M 106. And you're back on 103.7 The Beat in M106. This is Torn in Two, brought to you by Bishop Custom Series and Entertainment. Go see the Bishop for all your entertainment and custom needs. Listen, we need to talk and about, you know, crime, and we want to talk about, we need to really bring in someone that is active. Would you introduce our next speaker?
Yeah. Folks, would you join me in welcoming Jackie Hallberg? She is the licensed master of social work. She is the executive director of Mediation Restorative Services. They help reduce crime and conflict in Muskegon, Oceana, Mason County, Manistee County. So again, she's a social worker. She's a certified mediator and focuses on restorative justice. And she's also involved in the prison reentry program. She has a wealth of experience. She's also been part of the Muskegon County and City of Muskegon law enforcement with the police department. So we're excited to have her today. Would you join me and welcome to the microphone, Jackie Hallberg?
Hi, Jackie. How you doing? Put them hands together.
Hey, guys. So nice to see you. And what a great person to follow. I mean, I was listening to Carlton and I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's opening up everything I want us to talk about today. Perfect time.
That's excellent. Welcome to the show for the first time. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm Jackie Hallberg, and you guys did great with my name, so thank you. I run the agency here in town called Mediation and Restorative Services. Almost nobody has heard about us, but guys, we've been around for 30 years. We work with community disputes. We work with family disputes, people maybe going through a divorce or having parenting issues, when kids are getting kicked out of school or having truancy issues, if kids are starting to defy their parents and the parents just need somebody else to talk to. We don't do therapy here at the office, even though I am that social worker. I used to do therapy in Nelson Elementary School. I love those little kids. But it's tough work. You know, sometimes people can't go to therapy. Some people aren't ready for that. Mediation is a different opportunity because it's giving people the voice. We heard, you know, Carlton talk about, you know, especially the Black male voice. It's not heard often. It's overlooked. The young kids, I mean, they're not always told, use your words. They're told, use guns, use your fists, get your boys on it, and things like that. And they end up in our jail, in our court systems, and then they go to prison, and then their life is changed, but also their family's life, guys. And you know, I mean, I've grown up in Muskegon County my whole life. It's the only place I've ever lived. We have a lot of intergenerational incarceration. We have a lot of the same families getting caught up in the drug scene and getting caught up in the court scene. And we have to stop that, because if people don't know any different, they think that's a normal life. And there's so much else beautiful out there for people. We need to give that hope. We need to do mentoring. I'm going to check in with Carlton, see if he wants to be a mentor for us, because kids need to know there's other things out there than just violence, guys. And it's not easy. And teachers get pretty overwhelmed and exhausted, and parents get overwhelmed and exhausted, but our kids are overwhelmed and exhausted too. So sometimes it's really easier to just follow along when what some of the other people have done. So I use my voice. I use my voice all the time. As you can tell, I can talk, but there's a lot to say because I want to get other people using their voice, standing up for our kiddos, standing up for our families that don't know that they can deal with things outside the court system or outside of always calling the cops or being in fear all the time. So our mediation center does a lot of things. We do things with people that, you know, people don't even realize. You don't have to be court ordered to us, but you can be. You can just pick up the phone and say, you know, I kind of have this issue with this person, and if they don't stop, something bad's going to go down. We can help with that. About 20 years ago, we started doing what was called restorative justice. That means if you did commit a crime, you stole the bike, you beat somebody up, you broke into somebody's house, not only do you have a right to learn from that so you never do that again, that person you victimized has a right to say, guess what? I want to know why you did that. Why did you pick my house? Why did you decide it was okay to hurt me? And that's how we build those relationships. And when we build those relationships, we don't tend to hurt those people we care about anymore. And so that's the restorative justice world that we do here at the Mediation Center. We do it for youth. We do it for some adults. We do different classes. We do individual things. And then we do those mediation sessions. We also run the exit program here in town, which is for felony conviction for those that are either currently incarcerated in jail or right after they get out of jail. And then we're always open to going back into working with prison reentry as well. We used to do that many years ago. There's so much work that needs to be done. We also
yes, it is.
And we provide support for families, too, that have those that are incarcerated. So it's a non-judgment opportunity to use their words and feel like the community actually wants to support them, even though their loved ones in jail or prison right now. So we do a ton of stuff and almost nobody's ever heard about us. So thank you for letting me be here today, guys.
We appreciate it. Jackie, I go into prison every fourth Thursday and talk to the guys. What is like a number one message that you would relate to those guys?
Oh, the number one thing is you are not defined by the worst decision you have made in your life. Your crime does not have to define your future unless you want it to. There is hope and there is support out there, but sometimes it's not the support of the people that got you in the situation or where you came from immediately. You have to be willing to learn how to retrust and reach out to people. Now, I don't necessarily look like somebody that's been in and out of prison because I haven't. Well, I have, but I got to leave at the end of each session every day. So sometimes people are automatically like, oh, who's that lady? Is she going to judge me? She doesn't know what I've walked through. She doesn't know what it's like to live in this area. But guess what? Doing this for over 20 years, I have had the absolute honor to have some people that have done some of the most horrific things in our country reach out and talk to me about their situation and wish they would have been able to talk to somebody that wasn't going to judge them, wasn't going to bash them years and years ago. And that's what we need to do more of. So thank you for taking the time to go in there and share with people.
Mm-hmm. Jackie, you know, some of, you know, folks give the, if you don't do the crime, if you can't do the time, you know, I've never done anything. So why do I care? Speak to those people that sort of have that hard edge to them.
Oh my gosh, I love speaking to people like that because guess what? We don't know what we don't know. So if all you know is a life of crime and you don't know how to make good decisions and you don't know how to avoid the police or the courts in terms of doing things that are actually safe and okay, you're going to do the stuff you're used to and the stuff that comes normal, which is not normally okay with the law, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to learn something new and you have to be the one that's willing to teach people something new. So instead of being just kicking them to the curb, saying you deserve to go serve time, you deserve to get out of this community, what do you need to learn? Who can support you so you can learn new skills and not have to go back to this lifestyle? So that's number one. And number two, we are all one decision away from being on the other side and being the one that is locked up. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't
care
what
color you
are. You are one decision away from being on the other side. I'm serious, guys. I have so many people that reach out to me that they're like, I didn't think I needed to know about this. I've never been to prison. I don't know anybody. And now my son's incarcerated. Mm-hmm. How do I deal with this? I should have known about this. Guys, we're a neighborhood. Everywhere in Muskegon County, guys, we're what, 20 minutes away from each other? I don't care about these, oh, you live on this street or you go to this school. We are one community. And when we can stop and think about that, we start treating people with more respect. We start learning new ways and we can have a safer, happier community. And that's what I do every day. That's why I do this work, because it certainly ain't the pay. Sorry if any of my bosses are listening. I want to be a safer community, guys. We deserve that. Our babies deserve to not have to worry about, is somebody going to pull a knife or gun on me? Do I have to start carrying a gun? Can I not walk down that road? Is somebody going to jump me? Is somebody going to hurt my little sister or my mom or something like that?
Now, talk about mediation. I know people, and I talk to people a lot, of parents that are so frustrated that don't know how to communicate with their kids that kid don't know how to use their words.
Yeah. Well, guess what? When I was a kid, I didn't think my parents knew how to communicate with me either. And now we've got all this technology and kids are looking down at their phones all day and parents are looking down at their phones all day. We don't know how to talk to each other, guys. We have had breakdown in relationship. And then if your kid does something naughty, or if you start to become scared of your kid, because one day I'm short, I'm standing up right now. I am super short. Almost any kid that's about sixth grade and older is taller than me. how do I start talking to them after they're not listening to me, even when they're shorter than me or younger? So we have to learn how to talk. And if we have had that kind of headbutting and he's never going to listen to me, she's never going to listen to me, sometimes it's okay to have a neutral person in that room with you. Now, our mediators are not just plucked up off the street. They go through an intensive state certification. They are not going to pick your side or mom's side or the kid's side. They are going to be there to say, this is how we're going to talk today. So you can have what you want to say to mom said, and this is what mom can say. And then you guys are going to guide the conversation and decide, what do you want it to look like going forward? What's it going to be like when there's something not good go down or just a normal discussion? And they decide what to do. And being able to give families voices that maybe have never had it before, it's so powerful, guys. And so all of our mediations are confidential. I'm not going to call you up and say, guess who was at the mediation center today? Guess who needed to talk to us? We don't do that. The only time we report back is if it is a court-ordered session, and the people know that. So sometimes the schools will refer things. Sometimes we get direct referrals from the prosecutor's office or the police department. If they say they have to know what the outcome is, then the families or the participants know, and we will go ahead and notify them. Otherwise, it's completely confidential. Most of our services that involve teenagers or younger kids are completely free, guys. And if it's not free,
really?
It's super low cost, and people still don't use us and they forget about us.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold on. We got to go to the board. Let's see. Let's see if I can do this. Mr. Jack Page, how you doing? He says, the measure of a great society isn't how it treats its best citizens. It's how it treats those challenged. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. He gets it. He's a constant listener of your show, too, if you guys didn't know that.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
It's so much you want to talk about. Let's talk about families. You know, you talk about, you know, mom or dad not knowing how to communicate with kids. Mm-hmm. So they come in, you know, they're not listening to me. How do you get them? How do you get this process started with them? I mean, you know, I don't know if they're, you get volunteers come in as well as people maybe ordered by court because of family conflict.
Absolutely.
But how do you get them? How do you get them there? And then I guess, how do you get them started?
So the big thing is being transparent. So we let people know that we are not forcing them to come, but we are giving them this option. The school might be forcing them, the courts might be forcing them, but we are not, and that we are not going to yell at them. We are not going to get them in more trouble. We are here to help them. Once you start communicating with people and you start building a human relationship with people, they're like, oh, you're not really the system. You're not out to get me. You know, it's really, and we really screen our volunteers and our staff. We don't want people that are just like coming in and doing this, trying to act like they know better than other people and they're trying to solve everybody's problems. No. They're giving people the tools to solve their own problems and to understand that this community is super supportive when you find the right people to support you. And that's one of the beauties of our agency is we're willing to go anywhere. We're willing to go into schools and into police stations and into the court, into churches, into agencies. We want to spread our message. We want to make sure every single human in our service area knows they are welcome. This is not just, oh, only if you live on that road or you have this kind of money or you go to this school. Everybody is welcome to use our services. We are not going to judge you. We are going to give you the tools that work for you if you want to use them. We are not going to force you to use them. And maybe this is just the starting point, and this just starts that communication a little bit more. Maybe you're not ready to agree or make a change, but it's a start. So sometimes this can lead to other people going to possibly counseling, or possibly it could lead to them understanding why they got involved with the court system and what other skills they need. Sometimes they come back for some of our other classes we do, and sometimes they just need a one-time session and they're done, and life just gets a little easier and it's not so heavy because now they know how to talk in a different way.
Jackie, you are so passionate about what you do. What drives you?
Oh, gosh. We could talk about that for years. So I grew up in little tiny Ravana. There was no diversity. There was nobody saying they had rough lives. Everybody was supposed to say they were happy and everything was wonderful. My dad had some struggles. He had some physical and mental health struggles. And I knew if I was hurting from seeing what was going on with him, that other people in the world were. And I knew I always wanted to work with people and make things better. Well, I thought I only wanted to work with kids because I'm just like, you know, kids are our future. Kids are great. But guess what? Every single kid is tied to at least one adult, if not a gazillion adults. Then I started working in the prisoner reentry world where I would actually go into the prisons and I'd work with gentlemen before they got released. And we talk about what is it like to parent? When you went in, your kid was 4 or 5. Now they're 11. They've been the adult of the house for how long? What is that going to be like? How do you guys talk? Once I started talking with those that were incarcerated, some of them had been incarcerated longer than I had been alive back then. Oh, talk about a really worldview that, yes, we need to work with our youth, but we also have to heal our adults because our adults are going to be with those youth way longer than me just for a half an hour session or an hour meeting or something like that.
Jackie,
on two things I want to ask you. One, first, what are some of the misperceptions that people have about what you do there that, you know, you can maybe dispel today?
Yeah. First of all, they think we're going to report them to the court and they don't think that it's worth their time because the other party's just not going to do anything or listen or they're a horrible person. We can't wave a magic wand and make everything go away and make that person want to listen to you. But if you've never experienced mediation with a stranger in the room with you that is not going to judge you, it's so powerful, guys. And so that's one of the things I want to dispel for sure.
How do you get that kid that, like you said, look at their phone and doesn't know how to communicate their frustrations?
Yeah.
How do you dig that out of that person? Because a lot of parents are dealing with kids that all they know is social media or TV and playing video games.
Yeah, it's tough. And guys, I wish I had a one-stop shop that worked for everybody, but it's unique for every kid. It depends on their age, their experience. What are they looking at on social media? Are they just playing gentle video games or are they being coerced by a whole bunch of adults and mean people on social media? Are they being shamed on social media? It all depends on their experience and exposure. So if we get a kid that is referred by the court system, so they've already committed a crime, we're going to work with them prior to having them in a mediation with another person or the person that they harmed or somebody that they're fighting with, because we do want to give them some prep work. We want to make sure it's not going to hurt them worse or hurt the person that was victimized. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to them about that a little bit more in depth. We call that an accountability meeting because our brains are so amazing and so awesome. But if you're going to lie about what you've did or act like it's no big deal, your brain gets confused and it's like, yeah, Jackie, we did that. How can we move forward? So if you can say, yes, I beat the crap out of that kid and I know I shouldn't have done it, but I did it. Now, what do I do? If you can admit what you did, we can start moving forward. We can start making a safety plan. So we start where the kid is. And sometimes it might take one or two meetings. Sometimes they're just not ready for it. And we're not going to force anybody to sit here and listen to like a presentation or something. We're going to really engage them, let them know it's their time to use their voice. And as long as their parents are appropriate, because guess what? Sometimes parents are so embarrassed or they're so exhausted at their kid's behavior, or sometimes they don't even like their kid anymore because they're so mad at all their decisions. Sometimes it's harder to work with the parent than it is the kid. So it really depends on the situation.
That's right.
Okay. So Jackie, you've been in this business more than 20 years. So tell us, are we getting better or are we getting worse in terms of how we handle situations like this?
You know, gosh, I wish I could say I knew that answer. But again, that is different. There are times that I think every single case should be referred to us. And there are times the courts are like, no, because there's a background or this person might not want it. Let's let the people decide if this is a great for them. So what I want is I don't want other people screening people out and saying, yeah, they're not worthy of mediation or they shouldn't do that restorative program or they don't deserve to have reentry. Let them decide. And maybe they're not ready when we first talk to them, but maybe in 3 weeks or 6 months or 2 years, they're ready. Let's give them the opportunity to use these new skills. Because talking to people is not easy for everybody. And admitting you might have done something wrong or you need help, that's a whole different level. And we're not already at the same time to be ready.
Okay. How do we break this generational curse of just?
I got so many ideas. We got to talk about it. We got to get people like this. We've got to go into the streets and into people's communities so they know that there is other things out there. Guys, I cannot tell you how many people I have worked with in their 20s and early 30s that have lived in Muskegon their entire life that have never seen Lake Michigan. Guys, we got to get them outside of their blocks that are just doing the same thing over and over. That's number one. We've got to get some hope, and we've got to learn how to communicate the way people want to receive information. Because if I just sit here and talk nonstop, I mean, some people's brains are going to just explode just watching this little video. But if I was just to lecture to a kid for 6 hours, they're not going to hear anything after about the first 3 minutes.
Nope.
We have to build relationships. So what they're doing with the Lake Hawks and the Lake event, and I know they just did the Mona Lake Pink for the girls the other day. Those are the ways we build it, but it doesn't have to be just people in Muskegon Heights doing this and just people in North Muskegon doing this. Guys, we got to come together. Our entire county has to have positive events where we're working together. We're not judging people. We're not like, oh, I'm better than them and they're worse than me. We have to drop that bull crap, guys. We are all human beings first before anything else.
Listen, what do you say to the people that we're tough on crime and all they're just criminals? And what do you say to those individuals that just don't understand?
Guess what? Almost every single person in the jail or prison system are harder on themselves than the court system is ever going to be.
Would you say that again, please?
They are already so hard on themselves. They have taken themselves away from their family and their friends and their babies and their dogs. They are harder on themselves. They are dealing with guilt and frustration and anger and anxiety and past trauma. What the court does to them, what the correction officers do to them, that is nothing compared to what's going on up here. We have to start at a young age, giving people hope, giving them skills, giving them ways to be safe and realize that things can get better. Hard on crime is bullcrap. Soft on crime is bullcrap. Do what works for that individual to make change and talk to them. Use their words. We talk to guys all the time that have been in and out of jail, some of them in and out of prison, and then they come to us finally and they're like, I just wasn't ready back then because nobody talked to me this way or nobody treated me like that. I didn't know I could use my words. I thought I could only use my fists or my guns. That is what we have to stop, guys. We have to just slow down, realize every human is individual, and just because there's court laws doesn't mean that that's going to make an impact on that person. That human-to-human connection is the number one thing that's going to make change and reduce crime in not only our community in our state, but across the entire nation.
That's good.
You know, we had an interesting discussion in our Bible study about the movie Shawshank Redemption, and we had a different spin on it. But talk about the value of the reentry program and why that's so necessary and so
important. I love that. Re-entry should start on day one. It should not start 2 weeks before you get released or a week before you get released. Start day one and realizing, guys, this doesn't have to be your life anymore. They are so worried about what is it going to be like when I get out? Am I going to go back to drugs? Is my family going to like me? Am I going to be able to pay all these courts and fines? And then they're dealing with all the crap inside prison with all these rules and violations and people treating them not so great all the time. Giving them hope, realizing there's different skills that they could learn while they're doing their time, realizing how to connect them with safe people that actually care about them during incarceration and then when they get out is absolutely key. Reentry should also look different for everybody. For me, it might look this way. And for Gregory, it might look another way because what I come back to might be totally less than what you have. You might have so many other supports in place. I might have no cash waiting for me. I don't know where my roof is going to be. I'm scared to go back into a certain neighborhood because people might want to come back and retaliate. Reentry should start for every human day one in the way that it works for them. Giving people tools for education and understanding that their value is so much more than what their crime history report says is the way we move forward.
Wow.
We can get those right reports out there.
Wow. How important, because I've been a mentor for several guys. How important is that mentorship, that one-on-one?
As long as the mentor is doing it in the right capacity, it is critical and crucial in support. So if you're coming in and just being like, do what I say because I did it and you can do it. And if you just listen to me, it's great. That's not a mentor. A mentor coming in and saying, guys, life can suck and this is going to happen. And a lot of people are going to treat you bad, but I'm here for you. And I want to see what we can do to just talk about things and open up other doors. That's when it's powerful. So as long as you check yourself and you're being a mentor for the right reasons and not just to pad your resume or make you feel good, but to really build that quality interaction, that's when change happens with mentorship. I believe in it so strongly.
That's good. That's good.
Jackie, tell folks in Broadway about your services and how they can reach you.
Yeah. So we're located right downtown in the city of Muskegon, but we do a lot of our work virtually. So we do a lot of stuff by Zoom, or we go into the schools or different places. So we do ask people to either give us a phone call or to email us. You can email us at info@mediatewestmichigan.com. You can go to our website, which is mediatewestmichigan.com. We do have a Facebook page called Mediation and Restorative Services, or we have our exit one, which is specifically towards our program that we have. You know, reach out to us, call us. If you're kind of nervous, if you're still like, oh, I don't know if I can trust them, or I don't know if it's appropriate, call us and just don't give us your name. We don't check caller ID. We don't look at any of that stuff. Call us and talk to us, and we will let you know if it's appropriate or if you should wait for a court referral or a school referral or what the process is. So please don't wait until it's so violent or it gets to be so bad. We can help people through almost any age of their journey, whether it's over parenting time or whether it's over a financial issue, whether it's just a communication dispute, a school issue, or a criminal issue. Reach out to us anytime, and we would be happy to problem solve with you. See if we're not the right agency, who else out there might be able to help you? We will not give any legal advice, but we will definitely direct you to a wide variety of community resources if we're not the right place for you.
I know several families right now that need your service immediately. Yay. Why haven't we heard about you guys?
Well, so two things. We're a super tiny agency and we're so busy. We don't have a lot of time to go marketing or go door to door. We wish we did. We need more volunteers so they can help us get the message across. The other thing is, the people that do use our services, sometimes they are hurting so bad when they use our services. It's been a really rough time in their life that they don't really think about sharing. Hey, if you go there, yes, I'm still divorced, but they made it a little smoother. They don't think about talking about us and referring to other people because they're kind of embarrassed. They want it to be private. They just don't think about it, or they're so happy that they've resolved their issue. They just kind of put us out of their brain for a while. So we've got to get people talking about us, and then it just becomes normal and people can call us before things escalate and violence happens and the courts happen and all that kind of stuff.
Muskegon, you need to pass this information on. Jackie, please give the information again, because I know there are a lot of parents that are struggling with talking to kids. Yes. I know a lot of kids that are struggling to talk to their parents or even having mentors. I know a lot of people coming out of the prison that don't know what to do, or they're out of prison and they're struggling.
Yes. Go to our website is the easiest way. It's mediatewestmichigan.com. It's all spelled out. Or go to our Facebook page, Mediation and Restorative Service. It has all our contact information, our phone number. You can just click on our website and you can send an email. It comes right to me, or it's info@mediatewestmichigan.com. We'll process it. We'll let you know if you should call us or come down to talk about it or what that next step is. Again, we're not going to judge you. We're not going to go tell somebody that you called us and asked for help. We're not even going to make you give us your name unless it's an appropriate situation we're going to move forward with. So guys, this is for everybody, okay? There are certain situations that we may not be able to work through, but we're going to at least listen to you and not judge you and not treat you like you're crap because you're trying to use the services that so many people use all the time.
Jackie, we got to have you back.
Yay. I would love to come back. This is just cracking the surface, guys. We've got so much more to do together, don't we?
Yeah. Oh, yes, we do. Jackie, once again, thank you so much. And thank you for what we do. And we have a lot. I will be calling you after the show because there are a ton of referrals.
Yay.
That I have for you.
Yay. We need it. We need to talk about this, guys, and we need to work together. I thank you so much for all you do to share in our community of all kinds of great services and supports. And thank you so much for letting me be here today, guys. I appreciate you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Listen, that goes to show again.
I know.
Man, we got powerful people like the Riders and Jackie with what she does. And listen, people, what you heard, it was so important because there's so many people out there struggling with each other, families struggling with each other on the verge or the brink of losing somebody. And here's a chance for you to get help. Listen, there goes the show. It's 3 o'clock. We got to end. Man, I got a thousand questions for her. Linda Briggs, thank you for your comments as well. Listen, go out, sow a seed in somebody's life like these people. You never know who you might touch. This is Tour de Two. Take care. God bless. We'll see you next week.
All right.